Morning. Every year we have these honorary graduations for these high school folks. It just reminds me how old I really am. Oh my gosh, I can't really. I remember the time that we had a family meeting at Eric's house and we saw his boys interacting and being boys, and I was just like, wow, that was such a long time ago, but it just, time just flies by. It's amazing. Anyway, let me get off that. But anyway, so if you turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start with verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start with verse 13, and we are going to jump down to another verse, but I'll let you guys know when. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. We can skip down to verse 22. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, where he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land. By the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
All right. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. So, I have a few words today that I'd like to share with those who are graduating, but also with you. These are words that I think will speak to all of us if we will allow them, because we all have opportunities for new chapters in our life and for growth as well in our life. And so I just want to encourage you to not just simply listen to these words as if they were only for the graduates, but realize they are for all of us. That is why we're kind of staying in our Hebrews 11, because we have been looking at the Faith Hall of Fame and looking at the different heroes of the faith and why they were heroic and what were some qualities that we can take from them. We will never be perfect, and we will never be, I don't think for most of us, Hall of Fame saints. And yet at the same time, we can have some very similar qualities and characteristics in our life if we choose to do so. Today I want to talk about making your faith your foundation. And we're going to do that pretty quickly because our time is short. But let me share with you from the big idea number one of this teaching series. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's straight from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. In other words, we cannot be people who just don't simply have the faith in God and still be pleasing to God. It is absolutely essential and cornerstone to being a person who pleases God with their lives if you will be a person of faith or not. And so we have to get that right. We can't just say, well, I'm, you know, hopeful. I want to do the right things. No. This has to be part of your faith and for a reason of faith that you are following God's paths. And then secondly, we talked about how faith isn't a feeling. It's moving even when feelings or outcomes are uncertain. Because ultimately, for most of us, we can get into this place where we are frozen, where we are fearful, where we are running the other direction rather than facing our fears. And there are a lot of people in our world that are dealing with anxiety and fear on kind of unprecedented levels. And this is hitting our young people very hard. Because I think a lot of that has its roots all the way back to COVID, because it was such an uncertain time, and uncertainty totally breeds fear. Well, when that happens, we have an opportunity to turn towards our fears or turn towards our faith. Say that two times fast. So be very careful and conscientious. Say that also two times fast, that you turn towards your faith rather than away from it whenever you're feeling fear. Now, I just want to share this from Nelson Mandela. He said, "I learned courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." Don't you agree? I mean, I love that quote because it is so powerful and so accurate. Because ultimately, there are some of the bravest people in the world doing some of the bravest things in the world that are people who are still feeling fear and yet moving forward anyway. They're choosing faith over fear. They're saying that there's something that they're prioritizing over the feeling of fear in their life. And so this is powerful, and I wanted to share it with you because ultimately, if you are a young person who's graduating, I promise you, you're gonna be facing a lot of fears. You're facing a lot of fears in your life. And by the way, Anaya, congratulations on your graduation from college. So let's hear it for Anaya as well. I needed to mention that before I forgot it, and I was right over here, you know, just kind of wandering aimlessly as I am wont to do. So let me just share this with you. As you graduate, as you move forward in your life, there will be fear. The question is it going to stifle you and stop you, or are you going to continue to grow and let your faith grow in the process? Here's our big idea. Making your faith your foundation brings clarity to the present and God's blessings on your future. I'm going to say it one more time. Making your faith your foundation brings clarity to the present and God's blessings on your future. Here's what I believe with all of my heart. For most of us, we don't know which way to go. And the more that we see our lives unfolding in front of us, it feels like we've got more and more and more options. There's more and more conflicting opinions on how we should live our life in a daily manner. But I believe with all of my heart that if we say, you know what, I'm going to make God's word and my faith my foundation for not just the long term, but for today. And as we do that, I believe that God's blessings continue to flow, and the transformation that he has promised just continues to make us and remake us into the people that we hope to be, even if we don't always know the path to get there. I believe with all of my heart that we are people often who think only in the long term, but do not see how faith affects our today. If we can see it in both ways, that it affects my today, I live for God today, and I do it again tomorrow, and then I do it again the next day, that begins to transform the pattern of our life, but also the pathway of our life. And so we have to just honor both of those things, the everyday as well as the future. And the more that we honor God today, the more he will bless us in the coming days ahead. Now, something to learn very quickly. I just want you to just kind of read that. I won't go through all of it, but I want to make the point that ultimately, Moses was a person who had all of the education of the ancient world that he lived in. He basically had the best education that could be found, and he made a choice and a decision. I think many times in our modern world, we think, well, if I just knew more, and if I just had the perfect education, then the next step would be perfectly clear, and I would automatically be a success. I promise you that that is not true. I promise you that a piece of paper on the wall will not change your life if that piece of paper on the wall and that process hasn't changed you on the inside. I'm not here to tell you, yes, go to college. I'm not here to tell you, no, go to college. None of that stuff is something I'm willing to wade into, okay? But I will tell you this. Ultimately, it is not about what you can hang on the wall. It is who you are becoming on the inside that actually will change your life. And here we see Moses made a decision after getting the very best education that his world had to offer. He said, but the thing that's missing is my relationship foundational with God. And so he made a choice and a decision. And here's what it says. This is where we see here a change, choosing God over the world. What the world thinks about us becomes secondary, and what God believes about us becoming first and priority. Now, as we look at this conversation having to do and focusing and shining that Faith Hall of Fame spotlight on Moses, we see that he was coming about and coming of age in a time where there was a lot of changes happening, kind of similar to our world. Things are changing constantly, and we can't quite find our footing if we're not careful. So here's what we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Joseph was the man who kept Israel alive as a nation. They could have been exterminated and extinguished before God even had a chance to make them into a nation. But instead of saying, I'm going to stay here where I'm famous and I'm the second in command, he said, no. What I am going to do is I'm going to say, when my life ends and my bones are all that is left, and when God sends us out like he promised he would and makes us a nation and gives us a promised land, I don't want my bones here in Egypt. I want them with God's people in God's place that he has for us. Can I get an amen on that? Amen? That is what we have to decide. Who gets say in your life? Is it those people that are around you with the loudest voices? Is it the brightest, shiniest, most recent thing? It is the thing that, you know, people are all talking about now and all the rage now. The truth is that for most of us, we need the clarity of something that is timeless, that will not change in the next week or month or year or even 5 or 10 years, but we need to be on a timeless path that as we look back on our lives over decades, that we realize we've been on this path with God and he's been doing something in the midst of my life all along. And the only way to do that is to find him and decide that he will be my priority. He will be my foundation today and not just hopefully getting there in the future. If y'all are with me, give me an amen one more time. Okay, so very quickly, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Here we find two people who were absolutely at the pinnacle of where they could have been. One was second in command over Egypt, the most powerful empire in the world that time. And then one was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter with hundreds of years in between. And both of them chose instead to walk away from everything that everybody was scrambling for and said, no, I will choose God to be my foundation. My faith matters more than anything else. Are y'all with me? Okay, so here's what I want to share with you. For most of us, we as Christians can be just as quick to scramble after stuff that everybody else is scrambling after. But what we need to do is remind ourselves that those things that will outlast and outlive us, those things that have been here when we were born and will be here after we are gone, are the things that actually make an impact that is eternal. Here, Moses chooses, just like Joseph had chosen, to follow Christ and him first rather than simply those things that are around in his world. And let me just share this with you. I'm telling you these things because I promise you, just like these men found that there was something deeper that was not being addressed by success, our world still finds the same things. Our world still finds the same things. People who are at the pinnacle of everything that we think in America ought to be the greatest, and yet they are checking out and saying, no, I don't want these things that were given to me or have been bestowed upon me. I want something different and want something else. This reminds us of this quote. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. In other words, you and I are just passing through. The question is, can we live for the Lord here while we have time before he calls us home? So second thing, very quickly, you change, you're living in a world of change, and you may have to choose God over the world. Secondly, just embrace that potential for growth and not the fear that you're going to feel. Now, as we look here, we see that Moses, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. In other words, they saw something different in Moses. They saw that he had something different about him that in some way, I don't know if it was the circumstances of his birth. How many of y'all know that every baby that you've ever seen is so beautiful to their mama, right? Amen. Everyone. I think I came out a little funky, a little weird on the head shape and the whole thing. My mom thought I was beautiful. I don't know if she needed glasses or what. But here's the thing. They saw something different in him. Something not just a beautiful about his appearance, but something that God had a touch on his life. And in the midst of it all, they realized this child has potential. Were they right? Yeah, they were right. He had the potential to lead a nation, to give birth to a nation with God's, you know, blessings on it. And so just understand, notice here, I didn't make a mistake on my text thing here. I did on purpose. I want to talk about choices. His parents made choices to bring him into the place where he could make an impact, but he began to make choices as well. And by the way, I wish I could tell you that you make one good choice and it will last forever, but how many of y'all know that ain't true? I've made a lot of good choices, but I followed them up with some of the bad ones. Can I get an amen? So ultimately, you have to make choice today and another choice tomorrow and another choice again and over again. And so we have to make decisions in accordance with our faith. If we make our foundation our faith, then we make the right choices in the here and now. And we see a longer spiritual side of our choices. I want to take just a few minutes very quickly and just kind of camp a little longer here. If you remember, Abraham and Lot were together. Abraham, the uncle, and Lot, his nephew. And he said, you know what? Hey, your herdsmen and my herdsmen are having this big quarrel. We've got to separate because the land can't support us both. And Abraham, the uncle, served the younger by saying, you choose, and wherever you don't go, I'll go the other direction. Right? And so he basically gave him the choice of where should I go and where will you go? And what happened here? He says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. And this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other, and Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as, what's the next line? Sodom. Y'all know what Sodom is. Sodom is one of the most wicked cities that God literally destroyed by hailfire. And so what did he choose? You know, what he would have told you is, I made a choice to go towards the better place for my livestock. That's probably true. But guess what came along with that? You were next to a city where wickedness was condoned, encouraged, and that's how that was. So ultimately, when we make choices, we want to make them according to one part of the choice, but not look to the deeper section. And for most of us, we say, well, this is going to be great. And this is what it's going to do for me. but we never stop to think of the spiritual ripple effect that comes along with those decisions and choices. And so for me, I would encourage you, if your faith is going to be your foundation, then you have to make the decision, not just in the moment, but also for the longer term. Now, very quickly, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing instead to be mistreated with the people of God. He made the long-term choice, and we've already seen this passage of Scripture. So let's keep moving. I would encourage you, you have to put up guardrails. I taught this teaching series twice because it is so powerful. You have to put up guardrails where you say, you know what? If I'm beginning to bump up against some things and I can hear that rattling in my car, I know I'm getting close to the edge where danger is. Y'all know what I mean? And so for us, as adults, as well as young people, we've got to put up guardrails in our life or else we'll find ourselves in a train wreck. Okay, very quickly, I would just tell you that character plus competence plus confidence equals success. If you want to pursue this path, you realize that your character is incredibly important. And if you look a little deeper, I'll go here. Go to character, look at all these different things about success that depend on your character. You do what you say, you're on time, you're dependable, you're prepared and engaged. You have a good attitude and you're not a source of drama. Now, I don't know if you're involved in hiring, but you have got a team at your work, right? For most of you, you know, I need more of those people in my job, right? So these are the people that we want in our life. So I haven't even begun to talk about whether or not you know how to do your job. It's just a question of your character. And I encourage you to think about character, competence, and confidence, knowing that you have been created to do hard things. Now, I'm just going to keep moving here to this fourth thing. You have to do something with what you've learned. You change, you look at potential, you deal with the choices and make good ones, and then you deal with actions, taking action rather than just simply knowing what you know. And by faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. And by faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyers of the firstborn might not touch them. In other words, Moses put God first. His faith was his foundation. So very quickly, I will just end here with some big questions. What choices do you make in your life that make it undeniable to anyone who sees your life that you're a person of faith? And if you can't find something, I encourage you to look a little deeper and look within and say, what is my life going to be? Am I going to talk about my faith as my foundation, or am I going to truly make it my foundation? And then question yourself, can you trust that God's at work even if you don't know exactly what he's doing right now? And then can you believe that God is worthy to entrust your eternal soul, worthy of trusting him with obedience and submission today as well? Because even if you don't fully agree with God's timeline, his methods, or his goals, he is at work for your good in your life. These are some ways that you can apply this message. Make timely obedience your default and make a daily goal to know more of God and his word through reading scripture, prayer, and regularly attending church. These all help to pour into your foundation and strengthen it. So I encourage you, young people as well as adults, these are ways that your faith can be made your foundation no matter what you face. Let's check this out.
So, you've donned the robe, thrown the hat, made the milestone. You've made it to graduation. And graduation brings a lot of hope for the future. But it can also be a time to reflect on the past. And not just the funny stories and good times, even though there were plenty of those. Take some time to remember some of the challenges. Because the truth is, what's behind you is going to help you get to what's ahead. Those moments you had the answers were paved by the times you didn't. And those cloudy days of discouragement made hope shine even brighter. Difficult losses helped you fight harder for triumph. Rocky relationships showed you the value of steady friendships. Bumpy rides, clear roads. Low valleys, high mountains. Abundance and need. The whole journey brought you here. and made you who you are. So in this new season, celebrate all the wins. Be grateful for the losses. Let God continue to forge you. He's done an amazing job so far. Congratulations, graduate.